Welcome to ReachMahjong.com's World Series of Mahjong Podcasts. This is Garth Nelson.
And Jen Barr.
How's it going?
It's going good, I think.
Not good, or that was good?
Well, there's good things, and there's not good things.
Yes. For example, a good thing
would be that we had the very first ever World Series of Mahjong Reach event today.
That would be a good thing.
Yes.
For example, two bad things would be...
Garth dropped out in the second round, or in the... Yeah, the second round.
And then Jen dropped out in the second round, right, along with Garth.
Yes. But I was above Garth.
Yes.
I was on top.
Well, by design, you know, if I'm gonna drop out anyways, I might as well try to make my friends look good, you know.
That's so sweet of you.
Yes, I'm such a goody. Well, let's start from the beginning. How was it at the beginning of the day? How was it for you?
Not bad. I got some positive scores, you know, moved on to round two.
Yeah, that is what it's all about, right? It's all about just trying to hang in there, like you know, from round to round. If you can make it from this round to the next round, then you've just survived another possibility of elimination.
Yeah.
What were some of your big hands or small hands or big losses?
My biggest one was definitely I got a concealed, what is that called? Flush?
Oh, very nice.
A concealed full flush.
Full flush?
Yeah.
Wow. So 16,000 points?
Yeah. Or? No, 12,000.
12,000. Oh, because you had...
It was just the concealed flush and nothing else.
Okay, right.
And I won on someone else's discard.
Very nice, very nice.
Wait, let me tell this guy not to turn on the TV. Oh. Hey! Hey! Can you stop for 10 minutes? Thank you.
Oh, thank you very much.
So this really nice guy at the World Series, he just decided to turn off the TV for us for 10 minutes because we're doing our podcast here. Thank you!
Thank you very much.
Nice guy.
Yes. We're coming out at you live from the World Series, which means that from the World Series you get not quite so live broadcasts of last year's World Series, which would be happening in the background of our broadcast, but yes.
But from tomorrow they're going to have live coverage of the featured table.
Yes, and in other rooms, actually, there's live coverage of this very moment's event, the Reach final table.
Yes.
Speaking of which, why don't we talk about some of the members on the final table. Who is on the final table?
All right, well, we got Yagura.
Yagura, he is a professional player from Japan.
Yeah,
right?
From Kyokai, the league.
He is a member of the Japan Professional Mahjong Association,
yes. You
would call him? Okay, yes. Cool. Who else have we got?
We have a guy named Mark Lim, I think.
Mark Lim.
He qualified on Mahjong Time. I think you guys will remember we had the World Series of Mahjong Reach event qualifier on Mahjong Time, which was a collaborated effort between ReachMahjong.com and MahjongTime.com.
Yes, a fantastic effort from Mark, who doesn't have a lot of experience actually playing Reach Mahjong, and yet has gone all the way to the final table.
Right. And not only that, he didn't only qualify for the Reach event, he also qualified for the main event.
Wow. Oh, he also did that through, but there's no sound, so no problem. He also did that through Mahjong Time, yes?
Yes. Yes, both of them were through Mahjong Time.
Fantastic. Way to go, Mark. So we've got Mark and Yagura. Who
Actually,
are the other
two
players?
That is what we're watching right now.
Oh, yes. Now.
Way to go. Thank you. Good.
Yes, actually, we have them on the big screen here in the media room.
Yeah, I was just trying to wave at the guy to turn off the TV, and Garth's like, oh, don't worry, there's no sound, it's okay. But, in fact, it is the final table of the Reach event, and now we are watching it, and that is not good for podcasting, because you cannot see it. But, these guys are doing awesome.
It is very exciting. So let's see. So the other two players in the event are two players from Thailand, right?
Yeah, they're Japanese players. They live in Thailand. Actually, Jem and I went and got drinks with them last night. They weren't sure if they were going to play in the event. We talked them into it.
Oh, well done.
And they said, all right, we got to get first and second to make our money back.
Yeah, good thing, because here they are in the final event, or final table, and in position to take first and second, both of them.
Yeah.
Way
wow.
to go.
Good job, them.
Let's talk a little bit more about, you know, the important stuff, like, say, for example, us.
Oh yeah, us. We are the most important.
Yes. So you know, so you had a full flush hand in one of your hands.
Yes.
What were some of the hands that kind of did you in? Do you remember anything that really did you in?
Basically every other hand.
Every.
I remember one hand I had a pair of four of cracks and a pair of six of cracks, and every single other thing in my hand was either an honor tile or a gut shot. So I had like two, four, six, eight, and like 5, 7. Maybe 9, and then I had a bunch of honors, and that was the majority of my hands. That's what they all looked like.
Yeah, you know, that was my feeling for my starting hands too. It was just crap from the start, right?
Yeah.
You know, every single time, and it was like it was a miracle if I could just get my hand to ready any of those times, right? And let alone a hand that actually had some big points in it that I could actually make a killing on. And I think I told you before, right? So I had at least 3 times where I got to. One away from ready of a concealed 4 triples, right? Which is a huge hand, and if you can complete it, wow, big points.
Yeah.
But it's a really difficult hand to complete, right? You're not going to be able to complete that all the time. And if that's the only kind of hand that comes to you all the time, it's going to be really hard to win.
Yeah. They say, you know, some people do say that if you win on a... limit hand, it means you're actually in the not lucky mode. The people who believe that there's lucky modes and not lucky modes, they believe that if you win with a limit hand, you're in the non-lucky mode.
I really have to agree with that, because those hands are so unusual.
Yeah.
The only reason they come is because you're actually not in the usual lucky hand mode.
Right.
Especially
so your bread and butter, like the peace hand and inside
the
hand.
Inside and reach hands, right? Like those hands that make you the 8,000 points here and there, that's not what you get. You get like a whole bunch of pairs that eventually somehow miraculously turn into triples, and you're, oh wow, look at that, I have a limit hand. Or, you know, you start out with total absolute crap, all you've got is honors,
right.
And end tiles, and oh, look at that, you get, you know, all orphans. And so, yeah, I really have to agree, like, a lot of times when you do hit the jackpot and get that really big hand, it's because you've been unlucky for so long that you just happen to get unlucky enough to be really, really lucky.
Right. That's what some people say. And then other people don't believe in the lucky mode, so.
Yes.
But, there's definitely an argument for that, for sure. Also, another great thing about us, unless you want to keep talking about how we lost and we suck. But we did lose in the second round, so we were not the first 4 out.
Oh, that's true. So let's talk a little bit about today's format of the tournament.
That's a good idea.
So there were 3 basic rounds.
Mm-hmm.
What was the first round?
Yeah, the first round was they call it the preliminaries, basically.
Okay.
It was it was the equivalent of 4 half games, which the normal game for a Reach Mahjong game is 4 half games. But we were playing East games, so it was actually 8 East games.
Right.
And this decided the first cutoff point. And we cut down to 8 after the first round.
Right.
And in between there, we had a wonderful lunch provided by the World Series Mahjong and the Win. And it was really good.
I do have to say, they did go all out on the buffet.
And Garth got beer.
Yeah.
Where's your beer right now? I thought you were going to bring one to this.
Well, they stopped serving. I mean, once they took away the buffet, there was no more beer.
And the party was over, too.
Huh? Yeah, and besides that, they wouldn't let beer past certain little barriers. There's areas for beer, and there are areas for not beer. And podcast, apparently, seems to be an area for not beer.
We are in the public room, by the way, so if you're coming down to the World Series of Mahjong, come into the public room, we'll be here. Tomorrow we'll probably be here on noon, and then on Saturday we'll be here in the morning before the action starts.
Yes.
Doing our podcast.
Giving you updates on how well or how crappy we are doing in the actual World Series.
Right. On tomorrow's podcast, actually, I would like to be telling everybody how we went bungee jumping. This is my goal.
Yes, well, that'll be a goal that Jen might achieve by herself. Because
see, that's exactly what I don't want to do. I want somebody to go bungee jumping with me.
Well, you know, maybe somebody else will go bungee jumping with
you. The thing is, we're in Macau. The Macau Tower is the highest bungee jumping platform in the world. And I'm probably only going to do this once. So I'm just going to do the big one.
Yes. I suppose you might as well go for the glory and do it from like the really big one. But, you know, some people with a little more sense might just go to the poker room and play poker all night and then be asleep when other weirdos are going.
Oh, no, you have to at least come. Because how are you going to report on it?
Yes. I can report on it from reports from other people.
Anyway, when I win the World Series of Mahjong, because I went for the sole purpose reason that I went bungee jumping, then next year you have to go bungee jumping.
All right. If you win the World Series of Mahjong, I promise I will go bungee jumping twice.
Next. Okay. Cool.
If I win the World Series of Mahjong, what do I want to make you do?
Oh, no, we're starting with prop beds now. This is a real podcast now.
Huh, wow, it's another whole subject entirely, huh?
Okay, think about that. We'll move on to round two. Round two of the tournament only lasted for two half-game equivalents, which means there were four East game rounds, and that's where we both lost it. And we ended up at the same table for all four games, and it came out with this exact same result, pretty much.
Yeah, that was really strange. So that round, we had two sort of sets, mm-hmm. right? And the tables were supposed to change from one set to the other set. But actually, as it turned out, after the first set, when we re-ranked everybody, everybody got re-ranked in such a way that the first set table ended up being exactly the same as the second set tables. And I have to say, man, that was a little annoying for me because not only was I at the same table as I was for the previous set with you and those other two guys,
yeah.
but I was with those same two guys all day, actually, right? You know, I mean, we had four sets in the morning, mm-hmm. and three of my sets in the morning I played with those guys.
Wow. I think that today was the first day of registration, so it took a little bit longer than it will tomorrow. And I think that some of the table assignments as well were not as quickly organized as they could have been. So there were two guys that I never even sat with in Wheeling.
Right. There were at least two or three guys that I never sat with either. And I think it's also a problem of having, you know, I mean, the size of the tournament. Of course, we're going to end up playing a lot of the same players again and again.
Right.
But it was a little disappointing to play against the same two players the whole time. And, you know, I mean, I could say, you know, those are two guys that are on the final table. Let's see. One of the guys on the final table I didn't play at all. But then another guy on the final table, I played him twice also. So, you know, I got eliminated by maybe the best players in the tournament.
Yeah.
I can put that on my resume. Somebody will give me a job for that, I'm sure.
Way to go.
Yes. Let me see. I was going to review some of the hands that killed me. Something that, it wasn't a hand that really killed me so much as it was a hand that killed me by not winning for me.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of those ideas that I think a lot of players in Japan talk about. Like, when you have a chance to win a really big hand and you don't win it, it's like your luck swings in the other direction.
Mm.
You had a big chance and you missed it, so now everything is going against you. And I had a hand where I started off with Hatsu, the green dragon. I had three red dragons in my hand, two green dragons and two east tiles, and one white dragon.
Wow.
So I'm
that almost looks like the back of our new shirts.
Yes, exactly. So I'm more than halfway to big three dragons, right?
You know,
and I've already got one of them in my hand, so I don't even have to let people know what's going on, right?
Right.
If I steal tiles for one of them. And of course, the white tile doesn't come forever, and I keep getting, I pawn Hatsu, and then I pawn Ton also. And then I got a bunch of wanzu. I got a bunch of cracks. So I ended up dropping the white dragon in favor of a pair of cracks that I had. And I had already gotten to tenpai. My hand was already ready. And then I drew the last red dragon. Mm-hmm. And what happens when I con the last red dragon is I draw the white dragon.
Oh, jeez. Wow.
So I would have been ready with the Yakuman hand. I would have been ready with the limit hand. And then a couple draws later,
right.
Somebody reaches. I'm like, oh, jeez, how annoying is that? Well, maybe, you know, that one of my winning tiles is throwaways. So I'm thinking, okay, good chance. And actually, the tiles, so that was the two of cracks, and I could see all the three of cracks. Uh-huh. And I'm thinking, okay, here come the two of cracks, here come the two of cracks, here come the two of cracks. And what comes? Another fucking white.
Whoa!
Well, I was a little angry about that, but it was another white dragon.
This is not public airwaves. You'll be okay.
So, you know, I had a chance. I could have won a big three dragon's hand, and I let it go. And, of course, I didn't end up winning that hand even with the smaller version of my monster, which would have been, it would have been all triples.
Yeah.
It would have been small. It would have been Ton and Small Flush and the Red Dragon. So it still would have been 12,000 points. It would have been huge for me, but I couldn't win it. And pretty much after that, you know, I didn't win anything. It was just, it was all downhill from there.
Yeah, there are definitely some opportunities I missed out on, too. I mean, I don't know. I was working really hard, you know, all night last night, so I was kind of tired.
Here come the excuses, yes.
Yeah, it's a good one, though. I mean, you were, like, leisurely sleeping on a plane, came, your room was already checked in because someone had done it for you.
I know.
You could just go to sleep.
It's good to have people working for you. Wait, can you remember any of your hands that you thought, like, can you remember a specific mistake that you made?
There's just a couple times I should have pawned and I didn't because I was just kind of like not paying attention.
You know, that was a problem I had with the format of our tournament this time. So one special rule that we had in our tournament this tournament was that there was no continuation for the dealer.
Right.
That meant that that every game, every four-round game, was just going to be those four rounds.
Yeah.
There's no way that you can get more hands just because you're winning hands as the dealer, or even just getting to ready as the dealer. So you've kind of, my thinking going into the tournament was that you kind of had to be going for it all the time, which meant that even when I didn't have a really strong hand, I was stealing tiles just to try to go out, even with a cheap hand. And I think that ended up hurting me early. Did you have a similar experience?
Well, I was kind of thinking the same thing, but as I was playing, I started to realize that you had to actually pick spots instead of just go for it all the time.
Huh.
And so, I mean,
which is not so different from normal Mahjong anyway, right?
So I was looking for either a fast win where I could bump somebody else off, or like if somebody had pawned the lucky tile, and then I would just get a quick, cheap, you know, all simples hand. And that worked for me. I mean, I did that at the beginning, and that really worked for me. And then,
You know, the one game that I actually won, what worked for me was just absolutely insisting to myself that I was not going to steal tiles, and I was going to go. I was just going to wait until I got my hand to ready, all concealed, and just leech. And I leeched twice with bad weights, and I ended up hitting, getting a little lucky and hitting Mangan and just a little short of Mangan. And I won those games because I kept my hands concealed, I guess. And, you know, in the end, you know, there are a lot of people that say Mahjong is all about concealing your hand. You know,
yeah.
I mean, there are times...
Reach is all about concealing your hand.
But, and, you know, but they say menzen dene.
Yeah.
Menzen means, you know, concealed hand.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I was successful today, it was when I kept my hand concealed. And when I was not successful was when I opened up my hand and... And then there came a time when I had to make a decision between am I going to go with this or am I going to go with this thing that I leave open, and of course that's going back to my example of having missed the big dragons. Ugh, that was really frustrating. It's so frustrating it makes me speak French like I did earlier.
We have a little bit of more news with to celebrate this year's second inaugural. Okay. So we're doing it the first time for the second time.
Yes.
The second annual World Series of Mahjong, reachmahjong.com has made t-shirts that we have distributed to all the players of the tournament today. They're What Would You Discard t-shirts, and they are on sale at mahjongmart.com for $19.99. You know, get one. Give us your support. They are cool t-shirts. They do look good. And we also got keychains or phone straps, which are not on Mahjong Mart yet, but they will be this weekend. And those are like little tiles that have a strap so you can hook them up to your phone, and they look cool.
They are pretty dope.
Yeah, and they say reachmahjong.com. You know, you can show it to all your friends, and you can... Our good quote from Mark Lim today is, reachmahjong.com, where I learned to play.
Yeah, and he's done a pretty good job learning to play because he has made it to the final table. And, wow, there they are scoring. That wouldn't be the end of the final table. That would just be the end of the first round, yeah?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, it looks like they're setting up
the tiles for
switching seats.
So halfway through the final table right now. This is perfect.
Yes, it'll be fun to get back in there and see how they're doing. I can't quite see who is winning. When I looked early on, it looked like Yagura was doing well, but I'm not sure. I don't really know.
You know, go them.
Yes, way
One
to go.
One of them, the winner, will be playing tomorrow, as will we, from the afternoon. I think they have over 300 players already signed up. I'm not sure. I don't know those numbers. It's just a rumor I heard from somewhere, but it should be a really exciting event.
It should be pretty exciting, which is why I want to get back in there and start practicing.
Yeah, I saw you practicing with David Chu a few minutes ago.
Yes. they sat me down at his table. He was very friendly. He was talking to me about playing poker professionally in California.
Wow, nice.
And he was playing Mahjong.
Wow, way to go.
Pretty interesting. So it's an interesting crowd, interesting tournament, and we hope to have some more positive news, well, at least regarding our performance, tomorrow.
Yes, and I am planning on going bungee jumping, so everyone look forward to that. Please send me, encouraging emails.
Some kind of support, yes.
Because I am really, really scared. Because
I'm certainly not going to give her any support, that's for damn sure. That means I'm going to have to go get bungee jumping afterwards.
Well, this is a big PR thing I'm doing. I'm putting myself out there.
For everybody. Right.
For everybody. For ReachMahjong.com, for the World
You're
Series
not
of Mahjong.
You're doing it for you. You're doing it for us.
Yes.
Wow.
So please.
You give and you give and you give some more.
I know.
It's almost too much.
So
all right.
Email me at jen@reachmahjong.com, jen@reachmahjong.com.
Yes, if you want to tell me how stupid I am for thinking that I might go bungee jumping just because she is, you can mail me at garth, garthe, at mahjong, reachmahjong.com. And we'll be coming back out at you again tomorrow from the World Series of Mahjong.
I wish you would step back from that ledge, my friend. You could cut ties with all the lies that you've been living in.